All right, welcome back. Time to talk a little Pats with our buddy Andrew Callahan from the Herald at underscore Andrew Callahan on Twitter as the Patriots end their season in Buffalo, getting demolished by the Buffalo Bills. Andrew, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. Happy Friday.
Likewise, like I was saying off the air, I feel like we're kind of like in a spy movie, as you may or may not have something that, you know, the rest of us won't know about till tomorrow. So it's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel cool that? Like you're like a secret agent?
You know, I should have you ask that question in front of my girlfriend, because she thinks a little bit more highly of usually the sources, and putting on phone calls is just a pain in the ass. But it's always good. I got my fingers crossed we'll have some news up on the Herald site tonight or tomorrow morning.
Have you ever met a source at like a diner at 3 in the morning in Taunton?
3 in the morning, no beers at 2 a.m.?
Okay. Yeah, so, all right. But that sounds more like festive.
I was thinking
more like shady, but whatever.
No. Yeah, now I made it sound like anyone who's ever been in a frat, but, you know, that's not the case.
Andrew, what were your takeaways from what we saw? Obviously, there's like a tale of two seasons with this club, right? The tough start, then the winning streak, and then a really poor ending over the last 6 weeks or so, culminating with a pretty comprehensive beatdown at the hands of the Bills, where the Pats really had no answers on either side of the ball, right? Buffalo just did whatever they wanted to on offense. Defensively, the Pats offensively weren't able to really muster much up and make much of a response there. So what's your takeaway of what this team is? More like the last 6 weeks, more like that 7-game winning streak, something in the middle. What's your takeaway from all that?
Yeah, the answer definitely has to be somewhere in the middle. And it was just unusual to see the extremes, kind of from a Patriots team where at the early part of the season, especially after 2011, when the CBA changes and practices in football are just way down, off season, in season, you can only practice in pads XML. So the players are just not, as rehearsed working together, making these plays, and the fundamentals are evolving. Now, skipping the boring part, you just have to ride that roller coaster till midseason, where I'm not comfortable saying who's good and who's not until about week 8 or 9. And at that point, you saw the Patriots in the upswing, and then it continues. But then, of course, we had this hard fall. So I think, 10-7 for the regular season felt about right. I think we forgot in the middle of that win streak that it's a rookie quarterback, and Mac Jones might have exceeded all rookie expectations in terms of how well he played, but he was still somewhere between, the 12th and 15th or 16th best quarterback. And so when you have a quarterback like that in the NFL, you're not going to finish much higher than 10 wins, and you're probably not going to go further in the playoffs in the wild card round. Lo and behold, that's exactly what they did.
Looking at that game on Saturday, as Javier said, the Bills could do basically anything they wanted on offense. Seven drives, seven touchdowns. Very uncharacteristic from the Patriots that we've seen in the playoffs. And it seems like overall their defense kind of took a step back as the season wore on. Just, what were your thoughts on, particularly that side of the ball for the Patriots and their performance on Saturday?
Yeah, so I'm going to write about this a little bit later in the offseason, but I think your initial impressions are just different, the breakdown in every single area. Part of that was personnel. We knew that Jalen Mills was highly likely to miss the game. Of course, he does. They call up two corners from the practice squad, D'Angelo Ross and Devontae Bosby. And, when you're going against Josh Allen with corners from your practice squad, you're just going to lose out. And then when your defensive front can't hold up in the running game and the Bills are averaging 6 yards per carry, you really have no answer. So, I wrote about this after reviewing the film. The Patriots basically ditched their defensive plan, which is very similar to what we had seen in their last meeting. We're going to play, three cornerbacks. We're going to play a lot more man coverage. They go three safeties most of the rest of the game and play zone. And none of it worked, and they tried to pressure them a little bit, safe pressure. Just everything was thrown out there, and it just fell apart. So that's coaching where, again, other teams get off to a fast start. You just don't have enough bodies in the back end. And obviously you lose the line of scrimmage too, which is really your only hope. That's a failure on every front.
Looking forward to the offseason and what this team needs to do, obviously, like you mentioned, how Jones progresses is going to be a big part of this equation moving forward. Because I agree with you. I think with the way the NFL is now, good quarterbacks, I don't think you're going to win that much, right? I think you got to maybe get beyond good to that sort of next level. But putting that aside, they need help probably in their secondary. They don't know if J.C. Jackson's going to be back. They need help at linebacker. They need help an offensive line, and I don't know how they look at their receiver position and if they would aggressively try and upgrade that, at least with one guy, to maybe be the guy. There are a lot of areas here that they need to fill in for next year. I mean, do you look at it as that? Do you think they have – do you have confidence they could fill all the needs that they have, or how do you look at their offseason?
I think I have confidence that they can fill most of them. You know, I think it's also important to remember that aside from maybe a couple teams left, you're looking at the Packers, probably the Bills, maybe even the Bucks. You're never going to be complete in the NFL. You know, these rosters always have holes. So when we get to the end of the season, even if you won the Super Bowl, there are areas to address. That's not unusual. But the Patriots, you know, right now are projected, according to Over the Cap, to have about $13 million in cap space. And when you look at the top player that they need to retain, that's J.C. Jackson. A franchise tag for J.C. Jackson would cost $17 million guaranteed. So I think they need to create some more space. And what they do, honestly, in the next about 4 or 5 weeks, will determine a lot of what they're allowed to do after that in March when you're at free agency. So no doubt the draft is going to play a role, but I don't think you're going to see another class come in like this year where you had three rookies come in as starting caliber players, Mac Jones, Ramondre Stevenson, and Christian Barmore. So you really need to get the work done now. And how that goes, we'll see. But because of the lack of cap space, which, you know, all told is about average in the league, I don't think they can fill every hole. You're just going to have to count on Mac Jones' improvement in year two to kind of paper over some of your deficiencies in offense.
You mentioned Mac Jones at the end of that. It kind of relates to my question I had for you here. You know, now that you've had a full week to kind of digest it and look back on it entirely, just how would you kind of grade Mac Jones' rookie season? And kind of going off that, how confident are you that he can build on that and kind of take another step next year and show improvement?
Yeah, he can definitely build on this, you know, and I think it's partly because of the fast start that he got off to, right? You know, you wouldn't expect this from a rookie quarterback, particularly the fifth one taken in the draft. It drops all the way to 15. Lo and behold, you know, he's completing 68% of his passes, 23 touchdowns, and 12 picks. That's a good season for most veterans. So I would give him, you know, as far as a grade, probably an A-, right? You know, if you win a playoff game, that's an A, no questions about it. It's not like he carried the offense necessarily, but part of that was what he was allowed to do. So I think all told, everything that was up against them, yes, he would have loved them to have kind of finished a little bit stronger. But, you know, considering we're grading him on a rookie scale, and he didn't have the best weapons around him, you know, to get 10 wins and get into the playoffs, I think, you know, and the way he's rebounded in that second half against Buffalo, there's a lot of fight and promise for them to build on in 2022.
Yeah, to your point earlier on cap space and, you know, having to prioritize certain things, it's going to be interesting. But do you think the Patriots will address or will be aggressive in trying to find another receiver or – and they'd have to make a lot of things happen to free up the money to do that. I don't think you take a bite with a first-round receiver. It's just the most unreliable draft pick there is in football. So do you think do they get cute, find a veteran guy that maybe, you know, is towards the end, or do they go after an Allen Robinson for 1 year? Like, do you think they make an effort there, or will they roll with that same crew?
I think they're going to look to add to the receiving corps, no doubt about it. But it's just a matter, like you said, what are your opportunities? Because you always say, oh, hey, just trade for a guy. You got to find the guy who's on the market. And if he's good enough, you know, to be in your starting lineup, that means other teams want him too. And then what's the contract look like? And what would you have to give up in return? So it's not just easy as saying, you know, put up whatever you can for a good receiver. I would put receiver, though, on the table in the first round because, you know, from the very, very little that I've heard about the draft, receiver is pretty deep. And I think as much as it's difficult in this Patriots system, you just need some youth in there. And Nelson Aguilar's contract is going to be up after next year. Kobe Myers will hit free agency. You know, this year it's a restricted free agent, but he'll be totally unrestricted, you know, next year at this time. And so then you're kind of left with Kendrick Bourne. And so I think you'd like to have some depth behind them, and you could do that with draft and kind of maybe bring that rookie along, you know, early. If it's a guy like, you know, people have talked about Jameson Williams, who just got hurt from Alabama, or John Metchie, the guy who tore his ACL SEC championship game, guys with experience with Mac Jones, you know, who might have played in systems that have similar concepts, I think that might be a play that Patriots like going back to that Alabama well.
You know, Andrew, in that Buffalo game on Saturday, they were the sole reasons, of course, but McCourty and Hightower kind of got exposed. They both looked old at times, and I know they've been, you know, great players for the Patriots for so many years, and both are free agents, you know, entering this offseason. So just kind of what's your read on the situation with them? Do you think they'll both be back? Do you think maybe retirement's in the plan? Just kind of what's your read on the situations with McCourty and Hightower?
Yeah, I would separate the two just from this standpoint that, yeah, it was a rough game for both of them, but much rougher for Dante Hightower, who we all know is coming off an opt-out year in 2020. And, you know, at this point, I don't know what his market would look like. I think the Patriots can get him for cheap. On the other hand, Devin McCourty, you know, he might be turning 35 in August, but he's still got that long speed. And obviously his sharp mind is, you know, as good as any as they have on defense. And, you know, his ability to kind of cover sideline to sideline in a single high defense is what allows them to do a lot of different things. Now, they could put Kyle Duggar back there perhaps if they land another corner to pair with J.C. Jackson, because Jalen Mills was expected to play safety, if you remember, last year. But because Stephon Gilmore's situation, he plays corner, you know, all 17 games during the regular season, it just never happened. So McCourty's future is, if you want to come back, that'll be great. The number will be a little bit more difficult for them to land on for his next contract. But I think, you know, he's a much higher priority than Hightower, who, you know, I think they would still have back, but that's going to be a much lower number. And I think they have to address that position more as a whole at linebacker than safety, you know, when you look at each of these two guys.
I know it's hard to predict because we don't, you know, haven't seen the draft or free agency, but just generally when you look at where the Pats are in the AFC and you know, we see these quarterbacks and we see Burrow, right, ascending here and making the playoffs and winning a game, maybe you'll win another one here. Obviously, a Herbert out in LA and all the other young guys that are kicking around the AFC, including Allen and this in their own division. Where do you kind of see where the Pats are, you know, relative to the rest of the conference, you know, in the sort of near future, next couple of years, when you look at how much young quarterback talent there is in the AFC?
You know, I think probably where they are now, right? You know, wild card team, if they had gotten the Bengals instead of the Bills, maybe they're playing, you know, tomorrow or on Sunday, but there's clearly a gap between them and the Bills where you just look at, you know, not only is it a bad coaching matchup, but how rarely do we say that about Bill Belichick, but, you know, that's just a team that gives them problems perpetually in the division. And then the roster really has no weaknesses. And you've got a quarterback, you know, who on a given night can be the best quarterback in the league. So none of those, you know, descriptions I just gave you of Buffalo really apply to the Patriots yet. Now, Kansas City obviously is going to be up there. You know, we'll see how things take down the AFC North. I think the Ravens will be a lot better next year. And then, you know, who knows about the Colts, or we'll see about the Titans. So I just don't think you can definitively put the Patriots ahead of, you know, three of those teams, maybe even four, but they'll be in the mix. And you know what, honestly, with the way that the bracket is now, that only the number one seed gets the bye, you know, you can have a hot run here. I just don't think you would go into any of those games, at least next season, feeling like the Patriots are overwhelming favorites again.
Andrew, one of the more disappointing signings by the Patriots this offseason was Jonnu Smith. Of course, they gave him the large contract, and it just seemed like they couldn't find much of a role for him, and he struggled at times. Just what do you expect from him going forward? Is he a cut candidate, or is he a guy that, you know, we could see break out next year? Is there, it just seems like there's so many possibilities that could happen with Jonnu. Just kind of what's your take on that?
Yeah, so Jonnu will not be released next season. The money that they would incur, the dead money on their salary cap, would just be astronomical. He is definitely here through next season. And I think, you know, they were trying to make it work with him and Hunter Henry in the same, you know, on the field at the same time, because you go back to the opener, half of their offensive snaps were played in 12 personnel, so one running back and two tight ends. That was their season high for the rest of the year when they finished with just 18% of their snaps with Jonnu and Hunter Henry seeing the field at the same time. So they have to identify, you know, what they think their strengths will be next season, understanding that what they projected to be a strength this year just didn't work out. And I think maybe you know, find some different usage for him, but they certainly tried. And whether it was screens, isolating him, but ultimately they decided his best role, you know, surrounded by the rest of his teammates, was a run blocker. Now, there's an argument to be made. You open up the offense next year, understanding that Mac Jones is most efficient, you know, when he was surrounded by three receivers and one tight end and kind of allowed to go up tempo. I'm not saying they'll make this shift to a spread offense all of a sudden, but that might unlock something a little bit different for Jonnu Smith, who we all expected to be better against man-to-man coverage, and he just didn't get those opportunities. Hunter Henry was on the field in those passing situations most of the year.
Well, Andrew, we certainly enjoyed having you on all season. I'm sure we'll be checking in as events merit through the draft and free agency and anything else that might come down the pipe. So I just wanted to thank you for coming on with us all year again, and really enjoyed having you on.
Yeah, it means a lot, guys. Hope you guys enjoy the weekend.
All right, likewise. Thank you. All right, it's Andrew Callahan from the Boston Herald, @_AndrewCallahan on Twitter. And that kind of wraps up the Pats season here.
Hobbs, you know one thing that I forgot to mention?
What?
That today is the 28th anniversary.
You love anniversaries.
Of Mr. Robert Shaft buying
Really?
Said New England Patriots.
Wow.
Most winning professional sports team since 1994, as they say in their tweet.
I remember driving around Hartford with all the welcome, like all the signs with the Patriots are going to move to Hartford. It was like a done deal.
And then he bought him, and
then Shaft backed out of it. I think Shaft essentially nixed it.
Who was the owners before?
I can't remember.
I can't either. Well, not that I was alive.
I mean, it was
but...
Schaefer Stadium, right? So was that what it was called back in the day? I can't remember that either, honestly.
Wasn't it just like, I thought it was something generic, but I thought it was like Memorial Stadium or something like that.
Like the War Memorial?
Or just like
in Slapshot?
I just thought, yeah, sure.
War Memorial Arena?